It's Marketplace Tech for September 17th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Some months after it failed to close a merger with Time Warner Cable, Comcast has made another move to grow its customer base. The company announced this week it planned to sell phone and internet services to businesses around the country. The surprising part? The plans include areas outside of Comcast's current coverage map. Reporter Nova Safo takes a look.
Cable providers aren't TV companies.
They're infrastructure providers.
Craig Moffat of Moffat Nathanson says that infrastructure can carry any kind of data. That's their strength. Their weakness, Moffat says, is geographic. They've got defined service areas.
It's always been the dream of the cable industry to say, let's do a nationwide consortium.
Meanwhile, AT&T and Verizon have pretty much owned the communications market for big multi-city corporations. But now Comcast's got deals in place with other cable operators to provide nationwide coverage and says it has signed up several large corporations. Tom Egan of Telsey Advisory Group says this would all be good news if it weren't for one detail.
We haven't seen these cable consortium be that successful.
Cable companies have had others, one to collectively sell broadband, another with Sprint.
And what we found is that the cable operators' individual agendas were sometimes at conflict.
The question is whether this time the deals will hold. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Let's go from big telecom to big banking. Nine, count 'em, nine of the world's large financial institutions partnered with a tech firm called R3 this week. It's about part of the technology that fuels the cryptocurrency Bitcoin, called the blockchain. The blockchain is a simple way to keep a public accounting of the transfer of funds. And companies like Goldman Sachs and Barclays are now working with R3 to use the blockchain to make banking transactions more efficient. Here's Max Wolf at Manhattan Venture Partners.
Where historically one chose between slow and secure or quick and not secure, it looks like a lot of blockchain development has been international, rapid, and secure. And those are the three things everyone agrees shape the future of finance.
Max Wolf there. More proof that even if Bitcoin doesn't survive beyond the early adopters, its technology might live a long and happy life. Maybe you've heard about ad blockers, or the technology that wipes advertising off of what you view on the web. It's one of those ideas whose time has come. There's evidence everywhere. The latest, Apple's new operating system, iOS 9, which launched yesterday with mixed results, will have ad blocking in its Safari mobile browser. New York Times technology columnist Farhad Manju has been thinking about this, so let's think with him. Farhad, how are you?
Good. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Is this apocalypse now for advertising on the web and mobile devices?
You know, it's not apocalypse now. It could be apocalypse slowly. If that would be a great movie. The web, especially on phones, it's just completely chock full of terrible, terrible ads. There's these huge pop-ups, there's popovers, there's things that slow it down. So ad blockers are very popular on the desktop web. People install them on their browsers, but the mobile web has sort of been kind of immune from them for a while. And it's also the case that the mobile web is sort of the fastest segment of revenue for publishers and a place where sort of advertising is growing.
Is there another way? I mean, can you look into your crystal ball or is it full of pop-ups?
I mean, the future may be a lot of publishers die. So that could happen. There could be,
right.
but you know, I think there are other ways. There are subscriptions, there are events, there are things called native ads, which are ads that kind of don't really look like ads. They look more like content. There are all kinds of ethical problems with that, but you know, some companies have staked their future on those kinds of ads.
And you could argue that the user experience is actually better when they when they see native ads than when they see these other ads.
Yeah, you know, they often sort of mimic the look and feel of, you know, whatever publication you're reading.
Now, Google has dabbled in certain forms of ad blocking or kinds of ad blocking. Apple now doing this in iOS 9. Are tech companies participating in the mainstreaming of ad blocking, or are they sort of reacting to this thing that's already kind of bubbling up and happening that's actually coming from users?
I mean, it's coming from users, and tech companies are reacting because they fundamentally want to make their users happy. People who are kind of using the web a decade ago or more remember kind of the sudden scourge of pop-up advertising. Like every time you loaded a web page, three different new web pages would open up. People got totally, totally sick of them, but it wasn't really like a single publisher couldn't really stop it. So what happened was the browser maker stopped it. I think at some point we'll reach an equilibrium where many of us are kind of not totally happy with how things are, but kind of we tolerate it. That's the future.
What a beautiful future, begrudging tolerance. Farhad Manju of the New York Times. Farhad, thank you, man.
Great. Thanks a lot.
By the way, you heard me allude to Apple's new operating system launch having mixed results. That's because the company's servers were overworked while users were trying to get the latest software update, at least some of them. This is partly about a maturing market for phones and tablets, where lots of older devices are still out there and want the new software. So the overall number of devices trying to download iOS 9 is just getting bigger and bigger. The company was also supposed to update its watch operating system with the key change that Watch OS 2, as it's called, would allow for so-called third-party apps from companies other than Apple. But that release was halted yesterday because of a reported bug. Hey, always good to see the bug discovered before the operating system launches. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.